Amen. This morning, I want you to turn to your Bibles, like a pre-Christmas sermon, if you will. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John that you're very familiar with. We're going to be, in about 20 minutes, we're going to be in the third chapter. And, you know, I really struggled on the sermon because I'm already in 2023. And I've just been so praying about that. I wasn't praying so much about our Christmas services as I probably should have. So the title of this morning's sermon is entitled, "'Twas the Week Before Christmas." And, well, does that sound familiar? Yeah, "'Twas the Week Before Christmas when all through God's house, not a Christian was stirring." No, never mind. But you know that story so well, amen? Because we all, if when we were children growing up, you've read that to your children, of course, and all that. And God forgives you for that, too. And but we're going this morning, you know, we're 7 days away from the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord, the Savior, and the birth of Christ. And I'm thankful for that. But you know as well as I do that the world that we live in today, that so many people, and I don't fault them, I'm not beating anyone up, but they depend upon, you know, this season, the season to be jolly, you know what I mean? But the problem is they found out, they find out that this season just doesn't do it for them, you know? And I mean, we can all say, you know, have a holly jolly Christmas and all the rest of it, but really that doesn't do it for me either, amen? And it doesn't do it for us, loved one. You know, someone told me the other day that all this inflation and the high prices at the grocery stores and all of that has just ruined their Christmas. And they said, you know, I was out trying to buy a holiday tree. And I said, what's a holiday tree? No, never mind. And I was buying those holiday toys and holiday presents. And then I went to Kroger to buy the holiday dinner. And, you know, my Christmas is just ruined because of all that. And I said in Christmas love to that individual, okay? In Christmas love, even in my notes, that love is in green. I said, no, inflation didn't ruin Christmas. You did. Because Christmas is not about the things of the world, is it? It's what God sent into the world, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. And I praise God for that. I am so thankful for that. And, you know, I could have really depressed the young person. Now, I'll not tell you if it's a man or woman. And I said, you know, because I told him, I said, I don't want to discourage you, but Santa's not coming either, so you're really ruined, okay? So, anyway, with all that being said this morning, you know, if you want to ruin Christmas, as I've said over the years, all you have to do is make Christmas about you instead of what God has done for you. Amen? And so this morning, as we look at the babe in the manger, or how that came about, remember it was prophesied by Isaiah and written in Matthew there about the virgin. The virgin, not a virgin, but the virgin shall bear a child. We shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated is God with us. God became man, the God-man, 100% deity, 100% humanity, and all without sin. Amen? We know those things. It's so familiar to all of us. And, you know, I've prayed over the years. I struggle, and I say, Lord, how can I make something so familiar to the saints of God, the sheep of your pasture, how can I make it not where it's different? And this year, after, you know, all these, it was 37 years in the ministry, the Lord said, Bill, I want you to quit worrying about that. Who cares? Amen? No. Because you know what? If it's not embedded in your heart now, you're in trouble. Amen? So I'm just going to take the simple text this morning that we have and know that John, like John 1:14, the Word became flesh. Amen? And he presenced himself, he tabernacled himself among us. Oh, thank God that that has occurred, loved one. And as we prepare our hearts to celebrate the birth of Christ next week, his first coming, if you will, and then enter a brand new year, you know, it's sad to say, and I'm not trying to be the Scrooge right now, but this has been on, it has to be on your heart too, the things I'm about to say. I was thinking about how all of the things that we're doing in just our nation to celebrate Christmas and the secular Christmas and all of that. And, you know, I mean, you just look at all the American families, and I'm not saying this is wrong. All the homes are just, you know, they have thousands of Christmas trees, millions of Christmas trees all over America. And praise the Lord, okay? And I mean, the houses, American homes are all lit up on the outside. And even the White House up last week, they lit up a little bit too with the wrong colors. But they, you know, that's another story. But with all that being said, no matter how hard our nation wants to celebrate the season and celebrate Christmas, no matter how hard they try to do that, they cannot hide the sin that is so present and continues to just infect the nation that we live in. And that is a sad fact, but it is also a truth that we know about. And loved one, listen to me. It is sad today whenever God's truth becomes what other people call hate speech. Think about that. And that's where we are. Are we alarmed? No. Are we upset and afraid? No. We know the truth, and the truth has set us free. Amen? And I'm so thankful for that. And listen, we know that our faith and our hope is in the one who left heaven, the throne room of heaven, and was born into a dark world to give mankind light. The Bible tells us in Luke 1, 7-8, it says, through the tender mercy of God, meaning God's merciful heart, it says, with which the dayspring from upon high has visited us. The dayspring, that's a messianic title for Jesus Christ the Messiah. It says, he has visited us, and here's the reason, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus, our Lord, as we all know, he came into a dark world at a dark time. Amen. And is the world still dark? Yes, it is. But he came to give us peace and a mankind peace and to guide our feet into the pure light. You know, remember what Jesus told us in John 8:12? He says, I am, using a title for God, I am that I am. I am the light of the world. And he who follows after me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Boy, that's a tremendous word of God, isn't it? And that's who we are. We're the people. Jesus said in John 12:46, he says, I have come, listen to the reason, I have come to be a light or the light unto the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh to steal and to kill and destroy. And then he says, but I have come. Oh, and I'm so thankful. I have come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. I thank God that we do have the abundant life. Amen. As we prepare our hearts and we look down for next Sunday when we celebrate. And you know it, I know it. We live today in a redefined, divided America that has given sin a huge voice, and that moral absolutes have been literally thrown out, pardon me, out the door today. And we live in a time when we just, well, every day it seems like something changes in the social norm of our society. And this is my last opportunity this year. I won't be saying anything about this, I don't believe, at New Year's Eve, I'm sorry, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, about, you know, about of God's word to us in 2022, which extends to 2024. And that is the word revolution. You have to pardon me, I'm fine. It's just the allergies, okay? I didn't have a problem until Mario walked in. And I don't know what he did to me, but it's all right. He came over and hugged me, and you know, I don't know if he had all that pollen all over him or something, but I'm teasing, brother. There you are. I looked over at the wrong person. Sorry about that. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, that was God's word to us. Remember, you know, if you use revolution as a noun, it means to correct something that is unacceptable, to correct an unacceptable situation. Jesus brought a revolution to planet Earth, didn't he? Listen, remember the scripture in Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, verse 12, where Jesus is talking. He says, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven, it suffers violence. But the violence, they take it by what? They take it by force. Not only, and that means that they seize the kingdom of God. Pardon me. They seize the kingdom of God as a precious prize, as their own possession, because we belong to the kingdom of God. Amen? So we're in that revolution. And remember the Latin word for revolution, a reminder, just a Christmas reminder as we enter into a new year. The Latin for revolution means to turn around or to revolve around something. Well, you know, we are the church of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we must continue what we started this year. We must, everything that we do, we must revolve our life around the head of the church. Amen? That is just so vital. And remember how that is done? Remember the two words that Jesus gave us? The two words that he never used about anything else in the Gospels and has never and was never used anywhere, these two words anywhere in the entire Bible? And that is the two words, seek first. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 32, I believe it was, and he said, you know, all of these things the Gentiles seek, meaning the people that are lost, the how am I going to eat, what am I going to wear, and all the rest of it. And Jesus said unto them, he said, listen in verse 33, but you do something. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things, everything that we need in life, will be added unto you. Amen? Now, listen, did you know that seek first? Listen, that word is a command from our Savior. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. And our number one priority that we've undergone here in 2022 is going to be the same in 2023. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God. We're going to the throne of grace because that is where we appropriate by faith everything that we need in this life. Amen? Our provision is already there. And all we have to do is go there by faith and believe what God has already done. And we don't have to search for the kingdom of God. It's not only within us, but we know how to get there. In Colossians 3:1, it says this. It says, since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. That's present tense continuous in the Greek. Keep on seeking. And he says, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, meaning above where Christ rules. And he says, not on things on the earth. That's where sin rules, loved one. No, listen. We, the sheep of his pasture, can you believe that we can all, anytime, we just went to the throne of grace just a moment ago, didn't we? All of us together. And you know what? All of us were accepted there because of what Christ has done. Because of what happened, what the babe in the manger who grew up and died for us and ascended to heaven. Amen? Oh, listen, we can go to the most powerful place in the universe. And that is the throne of grace where Jesus is. I'm going to ask you a question now. I'm going to get into John 3 if you'll just be patient. Now, would you say that the birth of Christ, his first coming, would you say that it caused a revolution on planet Earth? Would you say that 2,000 years ago, that when that revolution began, that it still has continued into this moment? Absolutely. Loved one, listen, you know, when you think about how revolutionary it was when Christ came and the things that he said, and let me remind you, how about this, and we're going to, and when we get to John 3, we're going to see it, but it says, Jesus said, you must, every person, you must, it's not an option, you must be born again. You must be born again. You have to get out of Adam. You have to become a new creation in Christ. Is that revolutionary talk? Can you imagine being in the first century and Christ walks up to you and says that to you? That is over the top revolutionary. I just quoted the scripture a minute ago. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows after me will never walk in darkness. Never. But you'll walk in the light of life. Is that revolutionary? Of course it is. Jesus said, whoever believes in me shall be given eternal life. That is, can you imagine the God-man walking up to you right now, walking up to me, there the sun is shining, the birds are singing, whatnot. Do you see it? And he looks at you and he says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. He says, Let me tell you what you need to do. Don't worry. Don't be torn apart. Remember that old sermon I taught? What did Jesus say to do? He says, look at the birds. Now, come on. That's the greatest counsel ever given on worry. And yet, you want me to go look at those birds? Yeah. And not only that, check out the flowers when you have time too. Do you understand how revolutionary that was? That's incredible what God has said. And some of you are going, okay, Bill, this is supposed to be kind of getting us ready for Christmas, you know? I mean, can you kind of, you know, glory to God in the highest, okay? A little peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Okay. Peace on earth. You know what Jesus said about peace on earth? You ready for this? Jesus said in Luke 12:49, I came from heaven, in other words. I came to send fire on the earth. And how I wish it was already kindled, the Lord says. Now, there's a Christmas sermon. How about this one about peace on earth? Luke 12:51. Do you suppose Jesus said that I came to give peace on earth? Do you really think that's what I'm here for? He says, I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Is there peace on earth? No, we're going to sing about it. You know what I mean? We're going to, oh, but there's no peace on earth. There's no peace for the wicked. There will never be peace on this planet until Christ comes. Never. Listen. And if there's any peace, it's His peace that dwells in us that we have. And we have peace with God this morning. Amen? Because of Christ. Jesus said, no, there's going to be division. Matthew's gospel puts it this way. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? Oh, I didn't come to bring peace. He says, but I've come to bring a sword. Now, a sword divides. Amen? So that is the effect of His coming, if you will, not the purpose of Christ's coming. Let me follow up with what Jesus said in Luke 12:52. Jesus said, from now on, five in one house will be divided. Three against two, two against three. Father will be divided against son, son against father. Mother against daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Man, why? Revolution. Because of Jesus, because of one man. Oh, loved one, families cut in two. Why? All of a sudden you have two different natures under the same roof. You have people that are born again and people who are dead in trespasses and sins. Do you see the difference there? Jesus said, no, I didn't bring peace. That's not what's going to happen. No, listen, man, what a revolution because of our Lord. When Jesus was standing before Pilate and He was beaten bloody, and He stood there and Pilate says, well, are you a king then? And Jesus said, well, who told you that? Somebody else? Did someone tell you that? And Jesus goes on and He says to Pilate, Pilate says, well, are you a king then? And Jesus said, well, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born. Think about that. His humanity. For this cause, He looks at Pilate and He says, for this cause, Pilate, I was born. He says, and for this cause, I have come into the world, His deity. And He says that I should bear witness to the truth. And then Jesus says something. He says, every person who is of the truth hears my voice. What a glorious word. Jesus said in John 10:27, He said this. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I have a relationship with them, and they follow me. Sheep follow Jesus. Amen? True sheep follow Jesus. That's from the lips of our Savior. And Jesus went on and He said this, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never, that in the Greek it would be, they shall never, never, perish. Never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You know, as we look forward to next Sunday, and I know as we prepare our hearts for another Christmas, you know, and I know that we remember that the one who was, there was found no room in the inn for, our Savior, He's the one who saved us, amen? And we need to remember that. And I know we all know with this fellowship here that Christmas is not about you, it's not about me, it's about what God has done for us. We already know those things. So, but the one who is born of a virgin, the one who was born in a feed trough, if you will, gave us one of the most incredible Christmas scriptures found in the Word of God. Are you at John 3:16? Let me read it to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Question, are those words in your Bible in red? Well, there's your Christmas message right there, see? I didn't think it'd go over. Mario gave me that one. Yeah. You know what happened? There was a man that came to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus. He was a teacher. He was a rabbi. He was a Pharisee of the strictest sect. And he came unto the Lord and was asking these questions that no man could do the miracles that you do unless they be from God. And what did Jesus say to him? He didn't answer a question. He just said, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born from above. And Nicodemus gets all upset. Well, how? I'm an old man. How do I go back into my mom's womb? And all that. See, he didn't understand. And Jesus said, listen, are you a teacher of Israel? And you don't understand heavenly things, how in the world can I explain to you earthly things? And he goes on, and Jesus says in verse 13, no one, to Nicodemus now, it's at nighttime, he's talking. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Nicodemus, let me tell you why I'm here. I am here because you cannot come there. Does that make sense? And that's why he came for us as well. We can't go there. He came to us. He says, I've come down. I am the Word made flesh. I am now tabernacled among my own creation. I am here to declare God to you and to all the people. And he says, as Moses was lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now listen to me. It is night, and Jesus is the God-man. Jesus is God. He told Philip, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Amen? Now listen, look at him. He is standing there at night, and he's speaking with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is the first person to hear this glorious word. Look at it. For God, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, that is God in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man, without sin. God in the flesh saying, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, because I love the world. Isn't that amazing? I mean, when we think about that, I look, oh, Lord, that's why you became man. Have you ever thought about God becoming man? You know, here I am after all these years. Do you know I get more overwhelmed now than I used to, because I can't figure that out. But we know the scriptures. But think about that. God became one of us, loved one. And you know, without John 3:16, would there be any angels rejoicing? Would there be a little baby wrapped in swaddling cloth? No, would there be a babe in the manger? Would there be wise men? Would there be a star guiding the wise men? No, there would be no Emmanuel. There'd be no salvation for us. Oh, listen, I think about all of those things, and it says that God, he just didn't love. It says that God so loved. And the object of his love, the world. Can I tell you something? Number one, yes, that means that no person, no race, no people, no one is excluded from God's love. For God so loved the world. He just didn't love the world. He so loved the world. I don't love this world. I don't like this world. Now, but is he talking about the world, the flowers and the trees and the rivers and the buzzards and all that? No, he's talking about the people. He's talking about mankind. And Jesus says these words. He says, listen, God so loved the world. It is only God and God alone who loves mankind. Boy, he loves all of mankind. There are people dying right today about every, what is it, I forget the statistic, from that fentanyl or whatever that drug is. They're dropping like flies all over our nation. Does God love them? Yes, he loves them. God so loved the world, every person. And yet, isn't it amazing that so many people reject the only one who can save him? Save him from sin and hell and death and all the rest of it. He says, for God so loved the world that he did something. Look how he revealed his love to mankind, to the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus came, born, placed in a manger. God gave him for you and for me. Why? He gave Jesus, his own son, as an offering for mankind's sin. God's love was made visible by Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can you imagine sending your son, your daughter, your child to die for the sins of the world? Can you imagine coming into a world, you know, a world that doesn't want you, a world that hates you, a world that so despises you that they finally end up killing you? John 1:10, he came to his own and his own received him not. He came to his own nation, to his own people, the only people on earth who had the word of God and the law of God, the Jews, amen? They didn't want anything to do with him. And I just think about that, how he revealed his love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:7, beloved, it says, let us love one another. And here's the reason. For love is of God. He's the source of love, the origin of love. And everyone who loves is born of God. That's always love, one of the evidence of being born again, the new birth. And it says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You know why we can love one another? We couldn't do it until we were born again. Amen? Because, see, Christmas means this. I have, Romans 5:5, you have, I have. We, all of us, we have the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Amen? Oh, we can love one another. And it says, and this love, and this is how this love was, how Jesus came. In this, the love of God was manifested or made visible, the babe in the manger, if you will, toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, sent Jesus from heaven into the world that we might live through him. Here it comes, verse 10. In this is the love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Listen, God loved us. We did not love God. Do you understand? For God so loved the world. Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, he sent Jesus to die in your place, to die in my place. Behold, the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, who taketh away the sin of the world. Propitiation means atonement. And atonement there, that word means that our sins have been paid for by the suffering of another. In this case, the innocent, spotless, sinless Son of the living God, our Lord. He died. He took our place. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 3:5, and this we know that he, Jesus, he was manifested. He was made visible. He came to this planet to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. You know why? What I do love about Christmas? It reminds me more so than any other day that my sin, that your sin has been eternally paid for forever and ever and ever when Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. I thank God for that this morning. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 how he demonstrates his love toward us. He proves his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place. Now, look at verse 16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, no matter who it is, anyone, and any person, all they have to do is believe. They have to confess with their mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. That activates this verse, verse 16, if you will. Whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is one of the great, this every time I read that, it moves me. Listen, what we just read, look at it again. Let me just look at it. Whoever believes in him should what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, God became man to give all mankind, every generation, every person, the incredible revelation of the will of God. He doesn't want any to perish. Amen? None. He says, I don't want any to perish. None, not any person. You know what? I tell people, when I quote that verse to them, if they don't know the Lord, I said, you know, listen, everything's going to perish. Everything's going to perish in this world. Why? You don't want to perish with it, do you? No, why? It's not God's will that you perish. The Bible, what does it say, 1 Timothy 2:4, that God desires all men to be saved. All men, not just a few. All men, not just the elect. Every person to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:9 about God, his long suffering and so forth, and that God, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, God's not willing. Think about that. He doesn't want anyone to perish. You know what Jesus said, though, to the Jews? Remember what he said in John 5:40? He said, but you're not willing. I'm willing, but you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. So perish. Destruction, eternal destruction, is not God's will for any person. And John 3:16, as we all know, is it a universal invitation? Absolutely. God loves everyone, but what's so tragic is that even though he loves everyone, people can reject his love, reject his son. I rejected him many times before I was saved. Oh, I thank God for his grace. Amen. Oh, I thank God for his mercy. He says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, that the world should through him, that they might be saved. That's the heart of God, loved one. And he believes in him would not be condemned, would never be judged. But he who has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, meaning they hate Jesus, they hate his message, and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed or revealed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, comes to Christ, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. That's a Christmas message, isn't it, loved one? The light has come. Oh, I think about this and I think, oh God, he said that they love darkness. I would have never in a million years said, hey, my name is Bill and I love darkness. Would you? No, but the Bible says we were once darkness. Once darkness. I didn't know that. And I thank God. Oh, God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen? Boy, we were once children of darkness, but now we're children of light. We should walk as children of light, and we should walk in the light. And you know what happens finally in that light? You walk through all of your life in light, following the Lord. And then one day, your faith becomes seen. You see one day at the end of the journey, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Amen? Your faith becomes sight. Oh, that's what a glorious day that's going to be. The Bible says that in John 3:36, that he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Listen, we all know that Christmas means there is now a way back to God. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Boy, I tell you, you know, I don't know if you're listening live or maybe right here in this sanctuary this morning. I tell you, if Jesus is not your Lord, don't perish with the world. You know, all you have to do is come to Christ. Just ask Christ to save you. Right there in your chair, you don't have to get up out. Just right now, you could do it. And he will save you right where you are. Now, I want to close with a word. You know, I've had this entire week, well, I haven't had every day. I've had a few days, and all day yesterday I was so frustrated when I left here that I just, because I had five sermons. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying I was disappointed. Or don't get me wrong. Don't play a violin for me or anything. I'm not asking for sympathy or anything. But I am saying that I prayed so much about 2023 that I really wanted to have a New Year's message today, because I'm not going to have a New Year's message in 2023. I'm going to go right into Hebrews, the Lord willing. I believe that's what he wants me to do. But I want you to just listen to me for a moment as I close out the service. And I don't know that I can define a little bit, but I can't. I can only kind of declare. I don't know how to define my prayer time and what I've been sensing from the Lord or any of those things. But, you know, I've really thought a lot about 2023 and where we're going and so forth. And you remember in the book of Joshua how the Lord, Moses, he said, you know, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, you're going to take over. You're going to lead the children of Israel, remember, into the promised land. They're still in the wilderness. You remember all that? Okay. And the Lord says, you know, don't you be afraid. Don't you be discouraged and so forth. You know, you meditate upon the word of God day and night. You're going to have good success and so forth. He said, I am with you every step of the way. I have already given you the land of Canaan. Amen? And it's a done deal. Listen, what God says has happened. Yeah, God said, it's already been given unto you. So he was to lead them into the promised land, but the children of Israel, they had to enter because they weren't in it. They had to cross the Jordan, amen? They had to enter in, and they had to take their possession that God had given them. And the only way they could take it was by believing God. They had to believe what God says. They had to possess their possession, the land, by faith. Now listen very carefully. You know this, but I want to remind you. Israel's ownership of the land, when we go back there, okay, to go in, Israel's ownership of the land is absolutely unconditional. Amen? It is absolutely unconditional, because God says, I have already given it unto you. It's done. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and all the other mosquito bites, all the rest of them. Now, but Israel's possession of the land, it was conditional, wasn't it? Because they had to take it by faith. They had to believe the promises of God. Now listen, as we enter 2023, okay, I don't want you to look at that year as a year. I want you to look as 2023 as us crossing the Jordan. Do you understand? That this is a different time. It's going to 2023. I can't define it, but here's what I believe. I believe with all of my heart it's going to be not only an adventure, but it's going to be different. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised. You remember when they crossed over? I think it's Joshua chapter 3, verse 4, and I'm probably wrong, but it's close. What did God tell Joshua before they ever entered into the land? Remember, the priests were right there in the Ark of the Covenant, and he comes up and he says unto Joshua, he says, Joshua, listen to me now. I'm paraphrasing. He says, you have to follow the Ark. That's the presence of God. Amen? Okay, you have to follow the ark. Now, you stay back. What was it, 1,000 paces or what? You stay back now, and so you keep a good eye on where I'm going. And then God says something to Joshua. He says, because you have never been this way before. I believe, I'm telling you, when I think about what's this year that is coming that I've been praying so much about. I believe that 2023 is going to be different than any other year, and we have never passed into a year like the year that we're getting ready to pass into. Now, I don't know what that means, but you can know something in your heart, but still you don't understand it. Is that okay? Okay, I just believe that with all of my heart. And I know it's going to sound crazy, but listen to me now. I believe, the Christmas blessing that we're celebrating, I believe your Christmas blessing, our Christmas blessing is going to be found in 2023 because the revolution is going to continue. Do you understand? We are moving into the middle year. The middle year, loved one, you have 2022, 23, 20. Oh, what is going to happen? I tell you, I don't know, but I tell you, I am excited. And that's really what I wanted to teach, but I had to do the other.
You got time.
No, I don't. Because I have to have a really short message for the next service. So I'm just going to read that 'twas the night before Christmas. We're going to go home. It's been, one more thing. Thank you, Lord. I've been praying, and my heart has been breaking, and I know yours has too, over the children in our nation. It's so overwhelming that I just want to just weep. Because our children are not just being mutilated in their minds, but in their spirit and in who they really are. And here's what I would love to see happen. We have an incredible prayer team. They pray. And boy, I'll tell you, Cisco, he gets those prayer requests. He is so faithful to get those prayer requests out to all the people, in which I'm so thankful for that. There's no delay. He's working on it, man. But you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a whole new prayer team, not to replace the prayer team that we have. We need you, but a new one. But their one specific goal every day is to pray for the children of Calvary Chapel and the teens of Calvary Chapel, meaning that every mother and every father would send in the name, first name, and age of your children, and every day in 2023, your child will be bathed in prayer and protection, your home and school, wherever he or she sets their feet, that their mind will be protected from the vile, the filth that is on the internet and all the rest. But that's going to be up to you. So all you have to do is, somebody has to just email me at info@loveneverfails.com. And you who are listening around the world, we'll pray for your children too. We just give me the names of your children and their ages. And every day in 2023, with their names will be printed out. This office, every day, we're going to lay hands upon that. That doesn't mean that any magic there, okay? But praying over them and interceding for them as you already pray for your children. Does that make sense? Am I crazy? Thank you. I just get crazier and crazier as I get older, don't I? I want to see that happen. God wants to see that happen. We have to do that for our children. Amen? Now, so with all that being said, it's time for us to quit. I just want to, I know that many of you will be out of town Christmas Eve, probably. I don't know, how it goes. And for our 4 p.m. Christmas Eve service, and the Lord bless you, man. And you'll probably, a lot of you will be out for Christmas Day. So that's why we're only having that one service. First time ever in our history, we're just having one service on Christmas Day, 10 a.m., okay? And so with all that being said, I might not see you guys until next year. So with all that being said, I know Becky and I, we'd both want to just thank all the servant leaders, all the people, everybody that's worked so hard. But you know who I really want to thank right now before we close out in prayer? I want to thank the cleaning crew. You guys are the absolute best. I mean, you are the best of the best. And they're so faithful in what they do. They don't get any, they're servants. And they take care of this place. They take care of my mess and your mess. That's right. So thank you. It's been a privilege to serve alongside of you guys in 2022. And I pray that if the Lord tarries, then we're able to be alongside of you in 2023. So from my home to your home, may Christ's presence just flood your home and your heart and all your family on this Christmas and in the new year as well, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for just that simple word that you've given unto us, Lord, and that we celebrate the birth of our Lord as we prepare our hearts next week to do so, Father. Bless your people. And again, I pray for any, Father, those that have lost loved ones. It's so hard at Christmas, and I know your great comfort will be there to comfort them. So, Lord, we bless you. We love you now. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. If you need prayer, you know, Jesse's going to close us out, and there'll be people here to pray with you and for you. If you're visiting for the very first time, I'm going to depart over to the main lobby. There's a visitor center there, and they have a free gift they'd love to give you as well. The Lord bless you guys. Merry Christmas.